And we are live in the Falcon Zone. Apparently our music's not done. We're live in the Falcon Zone on Blog Talk Radio. Hello. Happy Thursday. Hope everybody's doing good, you know. We're in the holiday spirit. That's why today's show's called The Holiday Spirit. Lots of fun NFL things to talk about. Of course, we'll get done in plenty of time for you guys to catch Thursday Night Football. What is it? Giants and Eagles, I believe? Yeah, Giants-Eagles coming up here a little over an hour from now. Like I said, lots of fun things we're going to get into. One thing in particular. Actually, there's a lot of smaller issues. We're going to try to do our best we can with a lot of these. But, like I said, happy Thursday. We're going to get into some Falcons. We're going to do Falcons first? Yeah, let's do Falcons first. Why not? Of course, the Falcons were able to roll for a second week over a team that they should roll over. That being the San Francisco 49ers. Hey, I like that the 49ers fan base was out to support their team, and I'm glad you guys stuck by a team like that, but yeah, it was good to shut you guys up for a little while. It really was. Just, certain times, just not at the point where we like to listen to it. And of course, the Falcons do have a big game coming up this week, but 41-13, 41-13. And you should beat a team that only has one win by that much. Plus, right now, the 49ers are more worried about who they're going to draft or who's going to be their head coach or if Jed York is going to have as much power as he does right now. These are like third-world problems. That's why San Francisco's not ready to compete. Atlanta's on a surge right now. See, they haven't even hit their capacity yet. I do like that they hung 21 points on them and blanked them in the first, third, and fourth. Although, in all likelihood, after the first 14, they could have stopped. Well, I'm glad they didn't. In fact, things got so good, Matt Schaub came in and proceeded to go 1-for-1. He threw a bullet. Great. I mean, just threw it right in the window. Right over the middle of the field for 16 yards. I mean, just if you would have blinked, you would have thought it was Matt Ryan. But Matty Ice ended up 17 for 23, 286 yards, 2 touchdowns. Devontae Freeman was able to rush for 3 touchdowns, had 139 yards on 20 attempts. Tevin Coleman, 58. Terron Ward, who came in, he had 52. Aldrick Robinson has come out of nowhere. He had 4 catches for 111 yards. Taylor Gabriel continued to be a star. He had 3 catches, 60. Sanu with 40-plus. Toy Lolo with another big catch. He's always good for at least one solid catch a game, and it's always a big one. This one's 30 yards. Freeman Hardy Hooper, who was shaken up, but I think he's going to end up being okay. Coleman Perkins. Pretty much, if you wanted to catch a pass from Matt Ryan on Sunday, all you had to do was put on your jersey and run across the field. I don't encourage people to do that, but it's just the way things shook out. Colin Kaepernick, they're able to – I mean, he still had an okay day. I still tell people it's not that he's not talented anymore. It's just that people didn't quite agree with his method. Not his message, his method. But he was 20 for 33, 183, and 2 touchdowns. No interceptions. Wouldn't expect a lot of interceptions from these two quarterbacks, honestly. They kept Carlos Hyde under 100 yards. He actually had 71 total. I mean, just overall, this game just, it, you know, played out the exact way we thought it would. And it puts Atlanta kind of in the driver's seat. You know, me being the Cowboys fan, we'll talk about the Cowboys victory here in a little while, but the fact that they beat the Buccaneers in prime time, Sunday Night Football, brings up this. I've told every Falcons fan I have seen this week, you're welcome. One of the things you guys haven't been able to do is put distance between yourself and Tampa, and the Dallas Cowboys just helped you. I'm not saying it's all because of the Cowboys, because you had to take care of business on your end so that we could take care on ours. But, hey, you're welcome. Because now with two games to go, you got a one-game lead, which means if you win this week and Tampa loses, or let's see, I think you have to win and Tampa has to lose, and it's over. Because you have a two-game lead with one to go. It'll be over. You'll officially have the division. Oddly enough, the Falcons at 9-5 and Tampa Bay at 8-6 is not the only NFC tight race like that. Of course, the NFC North is the Lions and Packers in those positions. But the Falcons have the edge. They have, let's see, they have the edge given the schedules they have left. I believe Tampa is going to have to face New Orleans this week, and I believe Carolina next week. Yeah, the Falcons have the Panthers, and then they have the Saints. So, I mean, but see, here's the exact thing I'm talking about, though. Is that if this week Atlanta goes to Carolina and beats the Panthers, and this week the Saints, who are favored in that game, beat the Buccaneers, then division's yours. You're just going for seeding at that point. Just want to be correct. Yeah, Tampa's going to play New Orleans this week, and we'll play Carolina next week. Next week might not even matter, except for they're trying to get a wild card. But if you're Atlanta, you're in the driver's seat. Absolutely in the driver's seat. So take advantage of it. Now, as far as Falcons news, stuff you guys might actually be wanting to know about. That sounds very basic. Things you guys want to know about the Falcons. They have officially waived Therese and Goodman, and they have promoted Keys and Taivea. Of course, that is Malachi Goodman and Robinson Therese and Josh Keys and DJ. I think Taylavia, is how you say his name. But other news you guys may want to hear. This one guy that plays for the team, number 11. Yeah, Julio. Julio is going to play this week. His toe's feeling better. It's where he's going to give it a go. And, I mean, given how things have been going, there's no telling how this could go. A lot of people are in their fantasy finals. I'm in the fantasy finals. Not of my own league. Of course, our own Reggie Walker is actually in the finals of my own personal league. But another league I'm in the finals. Pretty much been me and another guy have dominated. He was the West, I was the East. And now we meet in the finals, so it should be a lot of fun. But yeah, as far as Julio being back in, don't expect him to have 300 yards on five catches like he did before, but I mean, don't not expect it to. I mean, Carolina's coming off a pretty big win where they beat Kirk Cousins and the Redskins, who just maybe they realized that their season was pretty much over and started mailing it in. But the funny thing is the Panthers have kind of been mailing in for a while. For some reason, Cam, whether he got a call or not, and Cam, I'll actually agree with you. There's a couple times I thought you should have got penalties in your favor and should have got a couple calls, and you didn't. There might be Cam fans right there, actually. Cam, you should have got a couple calls, but you can't go around expecting to get a call every time. The call in question, the guy looked like he was trying to tackle you at your hip. And the first thing you do is try to do this little late pop-up slide. And yeah, just can't do those. Just can't do those late pop-ups. It's just so the guy grazed the top of your helmet with his hand as he went over the top of you when he could have plowed into you and probably knocked you out for the rest of the year. So let's keep that in mind, because the first thing you did, let's say you were going to get that call. Let's say that they already threw the flag. The first thing you did was get up and flip the ball at the guy. Well, when after a play is over, if somehow the ball goes from your hands to your opponent, toward your opponent, that is considered a penalty, personal foul. So, you would have erased your own penalty there, even if you would have gotten it, but instead you get 15 towards your own team. So, immaturity. You did win the game. You were able to hang on, but your immaturity. Cam, you've got to fix that. You have one of the best arms in the game. You have a skill set nobody else has, and it seems like every week we talk about some goofy thing you did as opposed to a great day. Because do we have his stat line? His stat line was, let's see, what was that stat line? There we go. Stat line for Cam. Threw for 300 yards, two touchdowns, and Jonathan Stewart ran for 132. If the Carolina team that played Monday night shows up this Sunday to face the Falcons, it's going to be a battle. And their game actually is Sunday, I believe. Did we get that right? Let's find out. I know this makes for great radio, me having to look this up here. But, no, they actually play Saturday. Saturday at 1. The NFL was smart enough to put a lot of games on Christmas Eve as opposed to Christmas Day. So, actually, one of the Saturday games, Atlanta at Carolina. I would imagine that's the Fox game here locally. It could be the CBS. I know CBS has been able to grab a few here and there, but these being two NFC. I would expect it to be on Fox. It's going to be a fantastic game. I actually kind of hope that Buccaneers Saints game. Ooh, it is a 4:25. It would be a lot of fun if that was the second game of the day. Would not hurt my feelings. Would not hurt my feelings at all. Now, here are the three keys to victory to me on how this Falcons team can beat that Panthers team. Clearly, if you can contain Cam Newton, really if you can frustrate him, if you can knock him around early, he'll get frustrated, he'll get his own penalties and take himself out. So, let's get some hits on Cam early, clean hits. Point number two. you've got to just stop their run game in general. You can't let Jonathan Stewart get running like that. You can't let Cam start taking off. So we want to hit Cam early. We want to stifle the run game. And point number three, this Falcons offense needs to attack early and often. You dropped 21 in the first quarter against the 49ers, and that all but took them out of the game at that point. If you can hang at least 14 on Carolina in the first quarter, I think that'll take care of them as well. They'll start mailing it in. And if they start mailing it in, I would start spreading it around, and I would just dig your heel into it as much as possible. But to recap the three keys to victory, get after Cam early and often. Pull the run game. You know, plug the holes. Don't allow that guy, Jonathan Stewart or Mikey Tolbert, to get any kind of traction whatsoever. And number three, attack early and often with our offense, because I don't think their defense is going to be able to hold up and sustain all the different weapons and attack that Atlanta has. I think Atlanta should, you know, not really cruise to victory, but we're talking 31-17, you know, somewhere along those lines. Because Carolina's going to score some points, because this defense for Atlanta is not lights out yet. They have been getting better and better. But overall, this should be the win to seal everything up. Now, there was a report that came out earlier today, and I'll go ahead and give you the disclaimer. I'm just going to kind of throw it out there for a minute. We'll know more about it next week. We're kind of waiting on some things to materialize. But I wanted to, you know, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk had the article about it. And we haven't had a chance. It just dropped right before the show. We haven't had a chance to really look at it yet. And we also, I want to do some digging on it, because I think there's some more to this than what we're being told so far. And it's not a bad thing. But there is a new spring league that is going to pop up in the football world, spring football, and it has and no affiliation to the NFL whatsoever. It will be a new venture launched in 2017, been operated by the same guy that ran the FXFL, which failed. Didn't work. So, you know, we'll see how this goes. But it is I'm not real sure if you can use NFL players or not in this. Maybe if they're not under contract, you can. Maybe it's a veteran-style league. You know, I don't know a whole lot about it. I do know that this league is going to be headquartered at the Greenbrier in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, not far from the home of one Mike Florio. But, you know, I want to look more into this before I really get into it with you guys about it. But, you know, just know that there's going to be in the spring, and I'm really not sure if it's going to be any kind of, it's no affiliation to the NFL, but I'm not sure if NFL players will be playing in it. Now, when we come back from break, I'm going to get more into some recent vacancies in the coaching world and a couple other fun things. Like, you know, there's a couple coaching vacancies that are there right now, and I'll throw around some names as to who I think should take it, who I think will take it, and this could be a weekly thing. But we'll be right back after these messages. Right here on Falcon Zone.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we're back here on Falcon Zone, live on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, if you want to be a part of the show, you can follow the link on the social media sites currently available. Or you can call 347-826-7448. Remember to keep it clean, keep it around PG, because we do have young ears that listen to the show, and we definitely enjoy our younger fans and want them to have the same great experience listening to the show as you guys do. So keep it clean, but feel free to call in, voice your opinion, questions, comments, suggestions. Now, you know, I usually don't like to talk about Odell Beckham Jr. He's got a lot of talent. He tends to be known for his highlight catches. I don't necessarily think he's a fantastic receiver. He's pretty good. I say I feel like he's more known for his highlight reels than his overall play. Maybe that'll change, but there's a handful of notes about him. First of all, he says he was fined $18,000 for wearing cleats to honor Craig Sager that were auctioned for charity. Okay, well, the thing about wearing specialized cleats is you have to get them approved by the NFL beforehand. So if he just wore them or didn't wait to see if... because I'm sure, being a tribute to Craig Sager, I'm sure they would have allowed it. More than likely, he assumed it and just wore them. Second thing about Odell Beckham here, the cleats he's going to have for tonight's game versus the Eagles say Merry Beckmas, and they feature grass from his high school field, and also feature the Grinch in Odell Beckham Jr.'s high school jersey. Now, that's pretty cool. I like these colorful ones that people are coming up with. To me, I don't mind if they're, in fact, he is wearing them. If you're watching Thursday Night Football warm-ups right now, there is Mr. Beckham Jr., and he seems to be wearing those cleats. Hopefully he got them approved beforehand. My guess would be maybe not. But either way, Odell Beckham's going to be Odell Beckham, and that's what we like him. That's what we like about him. Now, like I said before, I don't mind if every week somebody does something with their cleats to honor somebody else, or even if you want to put something goofy on there, as long as it's not offensive and as long as it's, you know, not too out of hand, as long as the league, let the league know ahead of time, because that's just the way it works. I don't know that they should have ultimate autonomy on this, but it is what it is right now. So, you know, on Monday or Tuesday, let them know, hey, this Thursday, this Sunday, this Monday, this Saturday, in these cases, here's the cleats I'm wanting to wear. You know, maybe you should do it more than a week ahead of time so they have time to do it, to look at them. But, you know, at some point, this may even encourage more companies to get involved, because you could put your logo on the side of the shoe. Or, you know, let's say you're Nike and you make these shoes that Odell Beckham's wearing right now. I would imagine he has Nike. I'm not for certain. And everybody can see that Nike swoosh. Of course, there's a check mark there for people who don't know. That's what that's called. I don't have a problem with it. You know, the NBA is going to start pretty much having ads on the jerseys here soon. So why can't football players? Might as well get more money in the league that way, as opposed to things like, you know, playing on Mars, which seems to be the next logical progression of the most obscure place to play an NFL game. So that's another topic we'll get into later, maybe when we have Coach and Reggie on the next couple weeks. Cam Newton. One last thing on him. Cam Newton says that Luke Kuechly, who has been cleared from his concussion protocol, shouldn't risk his health by playing the final two games. He says, quote, you can't rush that. I think Cam's telling you what he thinks about the rest of the season, is that it's not worth coming back. We're not going to do well enough to do anything. According to the MVP poll on ESPN, Tom Brady is still topping. You know, I had told you guys my argument on that one. Even though I'm a big Tom Brady guy, I don't think him missing those games early should either drop his stock or not quite have him in it. Ezekiel Elliott and Derek Carr are tied for second on this ESPN poll. It has nothing to do with the overall vote or anything. And Aaron Rodgers continues to rise. I think Matt Stafford should be on that list, too. I think Matt Ryan should be on that list. Of course, these are ESPN polls that are being put up, so there's a good chance that neither of those two guys are on there because it is ESPN. Now, the Giants, for their walkie-talkie incident, walkie-talkie gate, I guess is what we'll call this one because we don't know how to call them other things. Basically, what happened was the communication system between the sideline coach who would talk to the quarterback and the quarterback went out in the Giants versus Dallas game a couple weeks ago. Or last week, rather. Or Giants versus... Yeah, maybe it was Dallas. Anyway, so the communication goes out without missing a beat. Somebody hands Ben McAdoo, Coach McAdoo of the Giants, a walkie-talkie, and he uses that to communicate with Eli Manning. Now, the problem with using a walkie-talkie is the NFL cannot cut communication off with 15 seconds left to go on the play clock like they typically do because they can't control it. So they say no walkie-talkies. Well, for some reason, Ben McAdoo and the Giants thought maybe this didn't apply to them. And because they used them and didn't say anything and the other team didn't get to use them, nothing like that, the NFL fined the Giants $150,000, which is, I don't know, is that even a collegiate parking violation or something? I'm not sure. And then they fined Coach Ben McAdoo $50,000 for illegal use of the walkie-talkies in the Week 14 victory versus the Cowboys. So it's a couple weeks ago. But to a coach, $50,000, probably not that much, and more than likely the Giants paid it anyway. But the whole thing about this is, since this was the Giants, it was kind of like, if this would have been the Patriots, the world would have probably imploded. If this was the Cowboys even, I don't even know that it would be that big of a story then. But since it was the Giants, it's just like the whole Pittsburgh Deflategate 2, basically, that we're not even talking about at this point. I'm probably the only person talking about it currently. The NFL is not helping themselves when they don't really pursue that issue, which pretty much shows us that the first time they investigated the way they did was a waste of time, effort, money, and just, I don't know, brain cells. But isn't it weird that the Giants are involved here? It's kind of weird that the Giants have been involved in both those two things there. But, overall, it's just weird that the Patriots always have everything kind of blow up on them when everybody else seems to kind of skirt by. We all know Seahawks safety Earl Thomas had a pretty good, I think, break to his leg. And at the time, he had tweeted out that this may pretty much be it for him. He came out and said that he is still considering retirement from the leg injury, but he is kind of on the fence about it, on what his future could be. Said that on the Rich Eisen show. Tune in the Rich Eisen show if you get a chance. It's a good, really good show. Rich knows what he's doing. He has a lot of fun. You get a lot of pop culture and actors, actresses on there, as well as sports people. And, him and the two Chrises do a good job. Bengals tight end Tyler Eifert says that if he was voted into the Pro Bowl, that he wouldn't play in it. And I can't say I blame him. He injured his ankle in last year's game, and didn't get to play till week 4, 5, or 6, something like that this year, and really is just now getting into his groove, and now it's, you know, late in the season. Speaking of the Pro Bowl, the Pro Bowl list, you know, teams were announced. On NFC side, the Falcons, I believe, led with 6. On the AFC side, the Raiders had 7. Now, I'm just going to kind of read them off here. Your AFC Pro Bowl roster. Quarterbacks, Tom Brady, Derek Carr, and Ben Roethlisberger. Kind of hard to argue those, right? Wide receivers, Antonio Brown, Amari Cooper, A.J. Green, and T.Y. Hilton. The running backs, Le'Veon Bell, DeMarco Murray, LaShawn McCoy. Tight ends, Travis Kelce and Delanie Walker. Yeah, I didn't think Tyler Eifert would make it either. The one fullback, Kyle Juszczyk, I believe that's how you say him. Could be completely wrong, from the Ravens. Tackles, Joe Thomas, who made it. He is only the 5th player in history to be voted into 10 straight Pro Bowls. And he all 10 have been with the Browns, so congratulations to him on that. Other tackles, Donald Penn from the Raiders and Taylor Lewan from the Titans. That's a pretty scary. You could put the 3 of them together and they'd be as good as some people's front 5. Guards, Marshall Yanda, Kelechi Osemele, or Osemele, however you want to say it, and David Castro. Centers, Rodney Hudson and Marquise Pouncey. On defense, you got Khalil Mack, Cameron Wake, and Jadeveon Clowney as the defensive ends. Wow, that's scary. The interior linemen, or defensive tackles, so to say, Geno Atkins, Ndamukong Suh, and Jarrell Casey. Outside linebacker, Von Miller, Lorenzo Alexander, and Brian Arakpo. The middle linebackers, Dante Hightower and C.J. Mosley. Cornerback, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, Casey Howard, and Chris Harris. Free safety, Devin McCourty and Reggie Nelson, and strong safety, Eric Berry. Your special teams, Pat McAfee is going to make it for the as a punter. He's great. He probably is between him and Mr. King out in Oakland are probably the 2 best in the league. But Pat McAfee, great stand-up guy and great stand-up comedian as well. He's going to be joined by kicker Justin Tucker, who I have said all year long is probably the best in the league. Tyreek Hill from the Chiefs is going to make it as a specialist return guy, and special teamer is going to be Matthew Slater. Your NFC, you got Matt Ryan. You have Aaron Rodgers, and you have Dak Prescott. Okay, we could have put in Drew Brees. Okay, we could have had Stafford. And as far as the AFC quarterback side, you could have had Marcus Mariota. But it is what it is. And to be fair, we don't know that Aaron Rodgers is going to play in it. We don't know that Matt Ryan's going to play in it. He could have other things going on. We don't know that Dak Prescott's going to play in it. Who knows? Wide receivers, though. Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr., Mike Evans, and Larry Fitzgerald, who, as reported last week, could actually play somewhere else next year. Imagine that. Running backs, Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson, and Devontae Freeman. Hard to beat those 3. Tight ends, Greg Olsen, Jordan Reed. Hard to beat those as well. Even though Jordan Reed, who got ejected the other night after punching Kurt Coleman in the head, he was wearing his helmet. Good job, genius. But it seemed like he was getting frustrated. He kept getting injured. He'd get injured and he'd come back in, talking about Reed. He'd get injured and he'd come back in. Finally, the last time, he's kept getting frustrated and all of a sudden ends up in a fight. Grow up, Jordan. I don't care what's happening. There's no reason whatsoever to get thrown out of that game. But you do deserve to be in the Pro Bowl, so enjoy it. Fullback is Mikey Tolbert, who I mentioned from the Panthers. He really is one of the last true, besides Jusic that I talked about earlier. There's not many fullbacks left in this league, and that's a shame. Your tackles are going to be Tyron Smith from the Cowboys, Trent Williams, and Jason Peters. The Cowboys' own Zach Martin is going to be there as a guard, along with T.J. Lang and Brandon Scherff. Travis Frederick of the Cowboys is going to be there as well, along with Alex Mack of the Falcons. Those are probably the two best centers currently in the league. Defensive ends, you got Everson Griffin, Cliff Averill, and Michael Bennett. Your defensive tackles, Aaron Donald, Gerald McCoy, and Fletcher Cox. Outside linebackers, Vic Beasley, Ryan Kerrigan, and Thomas Davis. Your middle linebackers are Bobby Wagner and Luke Kuechly. Yeah, Kuechly could play there. I wonder if Cam would want him to play in that game. And speaking of that, since when is Cam part of the coaching staff? And I guess he had the same notion, just like Richard Sherman thinks, that he's not only part of the coaching staff, but that he should be able to tell them what offensive plays to run, and he should also be in charge of media credentials because he got into it with a local media guy. And the best thing Richard Sherman can do is go on the defense and try to threaten to take away things that he has no power over. So good luck with that, Richard. You got called to the principal's office. You had to go on the Twitter and apologize, and I think you should have to apologize to the guy in person, honestly, because there's no call for that. Our job is to cover yourself and ask questions like he asked. He didn't ask anything stupid. He didn't ask if you love your mother, or he didn't ask if you knew who killed JR, or anything like that. No, he asked about your whole situation of you trying to argue with coaches when you don't like their play call. So, you know, get over it. Moving on, though, cornerbacks from the NFC side, Janoris Jenkins, who I believe is not going to play tonight, Patrick Peterson, Richard Sherman, there he is again, and Xavier Rhodes. Free safety is Harrison Smith and HaHa Clinton Dix, and Landon Collins is your strong safety. It's amazing, the same basic teams are almost on all these. Your punter representing the NFC is Johnny Hecker from the Rams, maybe the only guy from the Rams, which is crazy. Their defense is really good. Your kicker is Matt Bryant. Your return specialist, Cordarrelle Patterson, and your special teamer is going to be Dwayne Harris. And that's your Pro Bowl. Now, moving on, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to move on to some other topics. What are we doing time-wise? We doing okay? We don't need to take a break anytime soon. All right, don't plan to then. The NFL wants to expand fan access at the scouting combine. They want to allow fans to run the 40-yard dash and to watch some of the player drills from the stands. I actually thought you could do this already, but apparently you can't. So, you know, this could be kind of cool. I still need to run an official 40. I've got a lot of player friends that are curious how slow I run. But, you know, it's getting the fans more interactive into these events, and especially one, an untapped one like that. It gets more money generated. They can sell tickets to sit in the stands, and if the NFL can make more money and be profitable and get people more involved, they're usually all about it. So, you know, I think it's a good idea. The Ravens were able to hang on to the victory over the Eagles after the Eagles tried a two-point conversion and missed. It was totally the right call to try to go for that because the Eagles aren't playing for a postseason at this point. So if you can spoil somebody else's, you go for it. You're trying to spark. You're trying to get everybody more involved. You're trying to tell the fans you haven't given up. So, you know, I don't have a point with going for two and missing there. It's not like it affects anything except for possibly gives you a better draft position. The Packers ended up rallying after Matt Barkley kept the Bears close. He did a fantastic job if, you know, if I'm the if I'm the Bears, I go with Brian Hoyer next year with Matt Barkley as my backup, and I'll let Jay Cutler walk, and I don't worry about the quarterback position. You can solidify your offensive line, get a couple more pass rushers on defense. Use your time and resources elsewhere. I don't think you need a quarterback. But the Packers were able to hold on to that victory after Aaron Rodgers threw another 63-yard bomb to Jordy Nelson that set up the game-winning field goal with 3 seconds to go. It's Green Bay, folks. If you don't guard them deep, they'll win every time. The Texans benched Brock Osweiler for Tom Savage. And then they ended up coming from behind and beating Jacksonville. Jacksonville actually played a pretty decent game, but Savage is the guy going forward. They've already announced he's the guy this year, which is pretty much saying that the Brock Osweiler experiment not only failed, but could be on its way to being over. They're going to have to eat some money in order to do that, because they did sign him to, I believe, a 4-year, $72 million deal, which was absolutely asinine. Given that, they had never seen him in person. No formal workout. He pretty much got off the plane and they handed him $72 million. That's on you, Bill O'Brien. And I think Bill O'Brien's trying to not only save his name and his reputation and his position, he's trying to save this football team, because they're at the top of their division. There's a chance to make the playoffs. You can't stumble not even once. So you have to go with the guy who actually moves the ball on offense, and that's Savage. So he's sticking with Savage. And good for him. Good for Savage that he stuck around. The Titans rallied to win versus Kansas City. Kansas City completely blew that chance to pick up that victory. And it actually cost them a slight lead against the Raiders in their division. And the weird thing is, it came down to icing the kicker, which I have really started to argue lately that does not work whatsoever. Andy Reid watched Ryan suck, or he called timeout, watched Ryan suck up with a meaningless kick be short. On the next kick, suck up didn't miss. So congratulations to the Titans. And Andy Reid, you've never been good at managing a clock, so maybe you should let somebody else do that. The Steelers defeated the Cincinnati Bengals and the referees to take the division lead. They were having all kinds of crazy things called on them. It was about a 3 or 4 to 1 penalty call. They deserved a couple of them, I'll give them that. But Cincinnati had like a 20-7 or 20-6 lead and ended up losing that game. Shows you where their franchise is, and it shows you that you can't let Big Ben beat you, because he will. Jacksonville fired their coach, Gus Bradley. They also fired their offensive coordinator early in the year, so that is two big people they are no longer have in the building. Their GM, Dave Caldwell, who came from right here in Atlanta, says the team is interested in speaking to Tom Coughlin about the vacant head coaching job, because they figured the best way to turn this back into a winning franchise is to rewind to 95 and start over, apparently. I'm sure Coughlin can still coach, but, I mean, how long is he going to coach and how long can he coach? He's already got to be high 70s. But let's see. Here it is. Gus Bradley in 3-plus seasons was 14-48. In 3-plus seasons, just the last 3 seasons he had, or just the last 3-plus seasons, he had 48 losses. Put that in perspective, since 2003, Bill Belichick has lost 48 games. So, yeah, that just puts that in perspective. Gus is a good coach. He's a player's coach. He's well-respected. Everybody likes him. He just didn't win games. You have to win games to stick around in the game of football, in any game. It's not like some Major League Baseball manager sticks around after losing 100 games. They're usually gone, too. In this case, it was Gus. I think he'll catch on as a defensive coordinator somewhere. Not sure where exactly. There's always a chance he returns to Seattle, the way they lose coordinators. But you know, they wanted to start searching for a new head coach, and you can't do that with the old one still in the building. So they were able to move on from there. Adrian Peterson returned, and the Colts didn't look very impressed. They held Adrian Peterson to 6 carries for 22 yards, and the Colts won 34-6 with Andrew Luck throwing 2 touchdowns. The Colts are starting to surge. They're a team that Houston's going to have to look out for, that Tennessee's going to have to look out for. I think they may be a little far down to officially do anything, but moving on. A lot of people, you know, we all know about the Cowboys defeating the Buccaneers. We know about Ezekiel Elliott jumping in the bucket, Salvation Army bucket. He wasn't fined for that. And Salvation Army actually reported a $182,000 increase in donations 12 and a half hours after Ezekiel Elliott jumped in the kettle there. That's a 61% increase from where they were. So the Cowboys and the Cowboys family are deeply tied to the Salvation Army, as far as they've always worked with them. They're one of their main partners, especially in the Texas area. So it was a natural fit. I'm glad he didn't get fined for it, and I'm glad it helped the Salvation Army. Redskins' Ricky Jean-Francois is going to honor Craig Sager with some colorful cleats on Monday Night Football. I believe ESPN had a picture of those if you get a chance. Definitely go check that out. The Cowboys tight end Jason Witten passed Terrell Owens for 7th place on the all-time receptions list. He now had Terrell Owens had 1,078. Witten is just a hair past that. The Raiders clinched their first playoff berth since 2002 when they won 19-16 over the Chargers. Oakland is now 11-3. They take over first in the AFC West. And like I said, this is the first time they've qualified for the playoffs since 2002, which was the year they went to the Super Bowl and lost to their former head coach, John Gruden, with the Buccaneers. Drew Brees threw for 383 yards and 4 touchdowns as the Saints won 48-41 versus the Cardinals. Brandon Cooks had 186 yards and 2 touchdowns. It was good to see Drew Brees return to being Drew Brees. The Patriots clinched the 8th straight AFC East title, a first-round bye, and they won 16-3 over the Broncos, who are now 8-6 and on the outside looking in for the wild card. Patriots at 12-2. And I believe that is the longest streak in league history, the 8th straight. And it would actually be longer had Tom Brady not had his leg broken and Matt Castle played. Even though they won like 11 games, they didn't make the wild card that year. Raven Steve Smith, senior, because junior doesn't play for him, but passed Marvin Harrison for 7th place all-time in receiving yards. Marvin Harrison had 14,580. Steve Smith, obviously a little more than that. Colts running back Frank Gore passed Tony Dorsett, who had 16,293 yards from scrimmage, for 10th on the all-time career list. Good for Frank Gore. I'm glad he's still around. I'm glad he's still doing fantastic. And shout-out to Tony Dorsett, who was one of the most amazing runners in the league. There's a chance the Bills are going to fire Rex Ryan. You know, we'll talk about these coaches here. The vacancies that I think are going to be available. Here we go. Vacancies. I think there's obviously the Buffalo Bills. I think they're going to get rid of Rex Ryan, even though he's going to go possibly 500. The New York Jets, I think you're going to stick with Todd Bowles. I don't think there's any issues there. I do think Marvin Lewis could be out in Cincinnati. I think it's a big stretch. But, you know, at least finally they're not going to lose in the first round of the playoffs. They're just not going to make the playoffs in general. they need a culture change up there, and I think it's just like just it's ripe for the picking, basically. Like I said, the Bills are likely to fire Rex Ryan, but they're probably going to keep Doug Whaley, the GM. The team hadn't made the playoffs since 1999, so you got to kind of do something. Other vacancies, obviously I told you about the Jaguars, who have one right now, and are talking to Tom Coughlin. There's a chance the Chargers will, but the fact that they may move to L.A. may mean they stick with Mike McCoy. I mean, it's kind of hard to say. If you're going to make a move, I think you go ahead and make it. But McCoy hadn't been bad. It's just his GM's not giving him the right players to play with. Let's see. Other teams that could get a new coach. What about the Rams? I think Chip Kelly's fine with the 49ers. But the two vacancies that are here right now, the L.A. job and the Jacksonville job, both warm-weather cities, both have really good defenses, some weapons on offense. I think as far as the offensive development, I think the Jaguars are a little bit ahead. In fact, they're a lot ahead. They're going to need a quarterback. But people that could take the L.A. job, we've said before John Gruden, which I don't think will happen. People have said Jim Harbaugh, which I don't think will happen either. Could be wrong. Gruden could be the leading guy there as far as that, but at this point, L.A.'s got to find the coach that not only the fans and the team like, but that is going to be that face moving forward. If I were them, you got to think about, was it David Shaw at Stanford? That guy knows the area, and he may can actually do something with Jared Goff, because Jared Goff still needs some development. And as far as the Jacksonville job, instead of Tom Coughlin, I think they should make a play for maybe Kyle Shanahan. Pluck him out of Atlanta like he did Dave Caldwell. The guy can run an offense. Look at what he's done for this Atlanta offense. You know, Josh McDaniels' name is being floated out there. I think he may consider one of these because he doesn't want to be a head coach again, but he also knows that Belichick pretty much wants to turn the reins over to him when he leaves anyway. Why wouldn't you stay for that job? You already know the personnel. You already know the people. You know, you'd almost want to stay and take that. Now, I do want to talk about our picks, and after we talk about our picks, then we will be on our merry way. Last week, two of us went 3-1. Of course, that would be Coach and Reggie. And I went 4-0. You're welcome. I hope I made you guys some money. If I didn't, you should listen better. Just kidding. I'm not even at 500, so hopefully you're listening to other people. But overall, I am 27-33. I am hoping to be above 500 by the end of this. Coach is at 32-28, four games above. Yeah, 500. And Reggie sits at 36-24 and leads. I do not have their picks as of right now, but tonight's game is not on there, so when I get their picks later in the week, I will try to post those and let you guys know how things went, but I'll give you my picks. Game number one, we talked about it just a second ago, is the Atlanta Falcons are going to Carolina to take on Cam and the Panthers. I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to win this game. I told you 31-17 is probably what I believe it'll be. Can't discount Cam, though. He has been a Falcon killer his entire career. And especially playing at home, he's going to have a lot more to play for. There's that personal pride of not letting people down. And it seems to kick in when you play at home. Could be a close one, but take Atlanta. Next game we have is the Minnesota Vikings going to Lambeau Field to face the Green Bay Packers. Minnesota, to me, still has a really good defense. They have a better defense than Green Bay. But right now, if you're not betting on Aaron Rodgers, you're losing money. So take Aaron Rodgers to win this one. I believe he finds Devontae Adams for a touchdown. I believe he finds Jordy Nelson for a couple as well. And their running game, powered by converted wide receiver, now a running back, Ty Montgomery, has actually been moving the ball pretty well on the ground. So take Green Bay. Next game, the Detroit Lions at the Dallas Cowboys. Now, like I said, we all know I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm the resident Cowboys fan on the show. But I do like Matt Stafford. I do believe his injured finger is still going to cause him a little bit of trouble. I like Dallas's offense a little better. I like Detroit's defense a little better. And defense may get you there, but you need an offense to get you around. I'm going to take, man, it's going to pain me to do this because it's another one where I kind of want to be wrong, but it may not be. No, you know what? Given how Dallas and Detroit played last week, give me the hometown Cowboys to beat the Detroit Lions. I think that one's going to be a really close one. You're looking 27-24 or 27-26, something along those lines. That's going to be a fantastic game. And the sneaky good game of the week, the San Diego Chargers are going to be in Cleveland to take on the Browns. You know, we try to bounce it around. We try to feature every team at least a couple times on here. Wanted to get these two on before the end. I think Phillip Rivers is good enough to carry his team past Cleveland. But, you know, at the risk of not finishing 500 in this season's picks, I'm going to say the Cleveland Browns get win number one, possibly their only win this year, as they are currently 0-14. I think they're going to get their first win right here at home against San Diego. This is going to infuriate Phillip Rivers to no end, but I don't have to ride back with him, so good luck to you guys on that. And to recap, I said take Atlanta over Carolina. I said take the hometown Packers over the Vikings. Take the hometown Cowboys over the Lions, and take the hometown Browns in their first victory of the year over the San Diego Chargers. Yeah, it is Chargers. San Diego Chargers. They'd probably be the Padres, too. But that's going to do it for us this week. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm Jeremy with the Impact York. Hopefully in the next couple weeks we'll have Coach and Reggie back on. You know, the playoffs will be starting very soon. Look forward to having them back on. Everybody have a Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, any and all in between. Just have a great, safe holiday out there. And we'll see you guys next Wednesday for a special Falcon Zone live here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, I'm Jeremy the Impact Gore. We'll see you guys next week. Go Falcons!
without the bam. Yeah, okay. Bam!